This is Barry Reichenbaugh with the NOAA Research Communications Office, and I'm in Norman, Oklahoma at the National Severe Storms Laboratory with Dave Stensrud. Dave, can you tell me what it is you do here?
Technically, I'm a research meteorologist. My main focus of my research is to improve forecasts of severe weather events, including things like damaging winds, perhaps hail, tornadoes, even winter weather in terms of blizzards or freezing rain events.
Well, let's build on that a little bit. My first question has to do with the types of research done here to improve forecasts and warnings. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Forecasts, perhaps you could say that the fundamental tool that we use for producing forecasts of severe weather is what's called a numerical model. And it's most basic essence, a numerical model is just a computer program, but it happens to be a very sophisticated computer program because it has equations in it that let us know how the fluid, because the atmosphere is a fluid, evolves over time. But those equations have parts that we have to approximate, and approximations introduce errors. And so one of our tools is basically trying to find out how best to use these imperfect models to give better and better forecasts for severe weather events.
Could you describe NSL's work regarding ensemble modeling, and what is ensemble modeling?
Ensembles are just a group of forecasts created by a computer that are valid over the same time period. Ensembles are very helpful because we've known for about 40 years now, in particular, that the atmosphere is very sensitive to errors in our initial picture of the atmosphere. So to start a model up, you have to actually have a picture of what the atmosphere looks like right now. And so we launched weather balloons at weather service offices across the country. We have satellite data. Other countries also launch balloons, and we have surface observations. Even when you fly back home, your aircraft may actually have instruments on it that'll sample the temperature and moisture of the atmosphere. And so first thing we do is collect all these very diverse and different data sets and try to mold them into a picture of what the atmosphere is like at this moment in time. But that picture is imperfect, and those imperfections lead to basically forecasts being incorrect at some future point in time. And so an ensemble will take our initial picture of this of the atmosphere and we'll sort of adjust it, or you could say shake it a bit. We know it's an error by a certain amount on average, and so we can adjust those conditions and get a variety of different initial pictures that all are pretty close to what we think is true. And from each one, then, we can make a forecast using a model. And that gives you more of a probabilistic approach to actually looking at what's going to happen for tomorrow.
Can you go a little bit into what you mean by a probabilistic approach? I understand you're talking about ranges here, but for the benefit of the non-scientist in terms of probabilities, what are you getting at with that?
Well, you can look at it perhaps from a gambling perspective, or you know the odds maybe of if you're holding two tens and you're playing blackjack, you might know the odds of the dealer actually getting 21, for example. And so probabilistic forecasts are dealing with the odds of different events happening. I think we're most familiar with precipitation forecasts being done in probabilities, 20% chance of rain for tomorrow. But there also might be a 20% chance that tomorrow's weather is going to be sunny and highs maybe in the 70s, and there's an 80% chance that it's going to be cloudy and maybe highs only reach the low 60s. And of course, if you forecast like we do nowadays on TV, you might get the high tomorrow is going to be 60. But you're not telling people it also might be very nice and it might be 70 degrees. And so we're trying to give the full information, everything that we know, because then people can make decisions. It's always more helpful if you know the odds of something happening. And in particular, for example, if you're a power company in, say, Phoenix, Arizona, and it's summertime, and so demand for power for air conditioning is pretty high. And maybe on a given day, there's a 50-50 chance of it being 110 versus 95. And that's a big difference then in power demand for air conditioning, those two temperature forecasts. But if they know the odds of each one happening, they can make a decision how to save money, in essence, depending on betting on the odds.